Money Control presents Pitchcraft in collaboration with Seed to Scale.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of Pitchcraft, the show where we deconstruct the pitch decks of some of India's most successful startups. On this episode, we feature one such unicorn that wants to reimagine manufacturing in India, presenting Zetwerk. But what does Zetwerk do? What's been its journey so far? Here's a look. Valued at $2.8 billion, Zetwerk is a managed marketplace for contract manufacturing. Founded in 2018, Zetwerk connects original equipment manufacturers and engineering procurement construction customers across India, North America, and Southeast Asia with small and medium-sized enterprises. It's present in categories such as fabrication, machining, casting, and forging. It helps customers in procuring customized products which are not available off the shelf with real-time tracking and project management all the way till delivery. Zetwerk offers manufacturing solutions across industries such as precision manufacturing, aerospace and defense, renewables, consumer electronics, oil and gas, and infrastructure. Most of its founders have a background at the IITs or ITC. Its founders include Amrit Acharya, Srinath Ramakrishnan, Rahul Sharma, Vishal Chaudhary, and Ankit Fatehpuria. Joining us then is Zetwerk's co-founder and CEO Amrit Acharya. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of Pitchcraft, Amrit. We're going to deconstruct your pitch deck, the one that you presented to raise your Series A round.
Yeah.
This was sometime in 2018. You raised what, 17 million led
no,
by
no,
Axie?
We did 9 million.
9 million.
And this is November 2018. Yeah.
November 2018.
One month before my wedding.
So you got the gift before the...
Yeah.
Or did it close later? When was the money?
No, the round closed in March 2019, but we did the term sheet. And then I got married. Yeah.
Right. You know, if I look at Zetwerk's journey, right? I mean, you guys, of course, come from IIT Madras and worked in various places. But initially, you were on the software side. And
yeah.
Then you decided to become a manufacturing company, a marketplace.
Yeah.
How difficult was it to explain this to VCs?
It was tough. Like, I mean, a couple of points, like, we've never used a deck before and we never used a deck after, because we just found that actually getting people to see the business real time, visiting our suppliers, visiting our customers, talking to them, that was helpful more than using a slide deck to communicate the business. That being said, when we were starting, you should see the version 0 of this deck. This is a version 10 or version 20. Actually, my wife helped me a lot because she's from the marketing background. The deck you will see is a very technical deck. It has a lot of terms which are actually not very well known outside our industry. We talk about words like OEMs and SMEs. OEMs are original equipment
manufacturers.
But unless you know what that term means, it's like a three-letter random word,
yeah.
Right? And so it took us a lot of time to explain this to like a people who are not from our industry, let's say. And then we simplified it a lot to get to this version that we're going to talk about today. Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about this version. So you said this is version some 10, 11,
yeah.
12. But even this to a person outside manufacturing will be a lot, right?
Yeah.
Because you're talking about the OEM chain, how it works, what kind of materials you're making, fabrication, machining, casting, again, which people will not be that familiar with,
right.
At least in the venture universe. How did you go about it? Did the deck help you or did it hinder the process?
I think it's interesting. I think overall it probably hindered, which is the realization I had post Series B, so after which I stopped using a deck. We just started talking about the business in I would say terms that were easier to understand and appreciate for investors. That being said, at least when we're looking to raise this round, yes, there are a lot of terms, castings, forgings, etc., but then we took pains to explain what casting is, what is forging, what is machining. I can do that now, but I don't know if that's helpful. But I think what stood out other than that is how the business is performing financially, in terms of the love we were getting from customers, the traction we were seeing on revenue. I think we grew between the time we met Priyank and we closed the round, 4 months. Even between that time, the company had grown almost 4 to 5x in, let's say, 6 to 6 months time period. So I think that growth is what was a proxy for product market fit. And people are looking for, is this a business that deserves to exist? And I think the answer to that was a clear yes. Then we want to understand why, what are the underlying drivers of why this business deserves to exist? What is different today? Why do customers keep coming back? I think those were the qualitative factors, which some of it we tried to capture in the deck, and I think some of it we tried to explain to investors by getting them to talk to our customers and suppliers directly.
Right. Today, Amrit, you have, you know, a significant tailwind in manufacturing because the government has been talking about Make in India. You also had a supply chain shift post-COVID. Right. People want to de-risk supply chains, you know, not over-index on China. And, you know, now I think one third of your revenues is coming from India, right? And you're also exporting to other countries. But these tailwinds did not exist in 2018.
Yes.
So when people asked you then, you know, what's your right to win?
Yeah.
Why do you think you can do this? Because, you know, today you can, you can tell them that, you know, there are these two, three macro tailwinds that will work in our favor. The Indian government's push plus the global shift of supply chain. What was your pitch then? In 2018, people didn't even think about these things. We didn't even know a COVID is going to happen.
Sure, sure. No, at that time, so we started the company in 2018. GST had just been launched in 2017. So GST was a significant tailwind for us. Now, what are we doing? We are introducing suppliers from one part of the country to customers in a different part of the country. Before GST, this market was highly regional. So you had a company like Tata set up a big ecosystem in Jamshedpur. That's where they bought most of their supply chain products from. You had a GE which was headquartered in Delhi. They were very strong in Delhi. GST completely changed that, because today a supplier from the south was as competitive to a Tata who's based in east as the Jamshedpur ecosystem earlier, because GST completely leveled the playing field.
So flattened the tax indirect.
It changed the economics of the industry, and it also made ease of business much, much higher. So some of this we were starting to see. I mean, in all honesty, we didn't really know this at the time of starting the company, but we started experiencing this the more we were in the market. A lot of our customers were saying, we previously used to buy from X, but we want to change the supplier to a different part of the country. Can you help us find suppliers in Tamil Nadu? This is a very specific problem statement some of our customers were giving us. And then when we unpacked that, why are you asking this question? And they were saying, because of GST, our sourcing strategy has changed. So part of it was that. The other part of it was, you know, in general, manufacturing in India has had a reliability issue. In general, people in the industry overpromise, underdeliver. So there's a lot of anxiety which customers have on getting their products on time. Is the quality as per their expectation? They were not happy with the current solution. And they would express it in different ways. For example, one customer would say, I want this product delivered in 30 days, but I'm happy mentally if I get it in 60. Like, they will write the contract saying 30 days.
This is like IST, Indian stretchable time.
Some version of that. And there was a lot of meaning in that statement. Like, there is...
They're used to poor service.
They're used to poor service, and they've kind of given up. That they know that they will never get it on 30 days. So hence, I'm budgeting 60 in my mind, but I want to put pressure on the supplier to deliver it in 30. And then you come across a host of issues where the underlying talent is there, but the ecosystem supporting them, whether it's logistics, working capital, or purchasing raw materials, that part was broken. And so we felt that having an integrated approach where we solve everyone's problems is probably, there is a right to win. If you look at Zetwork as a business, a lot of traditional internet companies say they are eliminating the middle layer. D2C is one example. We want to go direct to the consumer. At Zetto, we're actually introducing a middle layer between two people who used to transact with each other directly. So we are the opposite of that story. And the reason that works is the incentives for the customers and the incentives for the suppliers were different. And we recognize that you need a trusted layer in between to bridge those incentives.
And did you always know that you would need venture capital for this business? Because unlike an internet business which has to spend a lot on, you know, customer acquisition and marketing and so on,
yeah.
yours is a more traditional business, and it's also a business that, say, a bank would understand. If you tell them that, you know, we are manufacturing X number of units this month,
yeah.
they will get it. It's not an obscure kind of business.
Yeah.
So why did you decide that you would yeah. raise venture fund for this?
No, you're right. I think the first seed round we required mostly to just set things up, but every round after that was a choice, and the choice was just a function of how quickly do we want to achieve the goals we have set. I think if we want to achieve the same set of goals over a longer time period, we may not have required the amount of capital that we raised, but we felt increasingly as we were in the business for longer that this is a once in a generational opportunity that we are sitting on. COVID made that drastically clear, that the world is moving to India. Will this happen again in our lifetime? I don't think so. And
so
hence,
the tide will sort of lift you up
yeah,
in the process.
Largely to capitalize on this big Make in India opportunity that is sitting in front of us. I think it's a generational opportunity. It is not just a generational opportunity for a company like us, but for the economy. And hence, whatever resources you can drive towards that is money well spent. And for us, that means that in certain cases, we have seen that suppliers don't exist for certain categories.
What are some of the things that particularly stood out for you, or you know, that you felt would convince a potential investor?
I mean, first things first, I mean, when I look back at this deck, I have a lot of feelings, like...
good feelings, bad feelings?
No, all good, positive, and a little bit naive also. Like, we were very earnest in how we represented the business. And at the same time, there's this saying in, you know, classic Silicon Valley, it's more about product, that if you look back 1 or 2 years in the past and you're not embarrassed by the first product you shipped, then you waited too late. And in some way, I feel a little bit like that about our deck. I don't feel embarrassment, but it's like, it was very raw deck. It just, whatever were our feelings at that point in time, we just captured it on paper. We didn't do any design work to make it look good. We didn't try to overly simplify it. So we tried to represent the business in the way
as
we understood
and as
it was. And for us, that meant we had couple of stakeholders. We had a lot of customers we were working with. What is the value we are driving to them? We are helping them discover new suppliers. We are helping them find reliable manufacturing, which they were finding challenges with before. And at the same time, we are also serving our suppliers. They are an important stakeholder for us. So from day one, if you look at our business, we are not constrained by demand. When we find good customers to work with, 90% of the times our customers want to give us more volume. They say they see some success in a small pilot and they say that how can we expand this, and almost always where our constraints lies, do we have enough high quality supply to address that demand. In some ways we can represent our business that if we solve for a certain quality of supply, demand is infinite for us. And we try to represent that in the deck. What is our supply strategy? What is the value we are driving for our suppliers? Why should our suppliers work with us versus doing something on their own? And how do we invest in our supply, whether in terms of software, business processes, solving their pain points. All of it we do today, 5 years later, but we had thought about it 5 years ago. And I think that has somewhat stayed true for us.
Yeah. And this value proposition slide, I would imagine, is one of the key slides, right?
yeah. So what we've written there is, we're starting with on-demand discovery. What we mean by that is, we're trying to, like, customers are looking for suppliers for various requirements and at different points in time.
So there is a online soft layer where you match requirements,
yeah.
but you also take care of the requirements
yourself.
We are
making sure that the promise is kept, that a customer is saying, I want it in 30 days, we will actually try and deliver it in 30 days. And then see if we can make the P&L work. It is not P&L forward, but let's solve the problem and then let's solve it the most efficient way. So there's a lot of matching that we're doing. And then once you've matched, then you're kind of solving a problem which has already been solved by somebody like IndiaMart. They have been around. They solve the matching problem.
Correct.
We realize that is not enough for us. Our customers expect more. Sometimes our customers would use our platform to match with a supplier. They would have some negative experience and they would put the reputational blame on us, saying, hey, we found a bad supplier, why is that work? And we said that, look, we don't want you to have that experience. So let us actually solve your problem, which is making sure that things get done on time as per your expectations.
So you also then had to be cognizant of the suppliers that you onboard.
Yes. So initially we would onboard whoever wanted to work with us, right? Because you know, the whole idea was to have a pretty open marketplace. But today we do a lot of curation. We collect 200-odd data points per supplier, starting with who they are, what machines do they have.
Physical inspections.
It's a very curated marketplace. So we make sure the overall quality table of the company is growing every year. So if a customer had whatever experience they had in 2020, the experience in 2022 will be significantly higher because they're working with a better class of supply than they worked with 2 years ago.
And did you kind of know then when you were making this deck or when you were pitching that, you know, this is the way it's going to trend, that you will work with partner factories or people who already own factories, work with them, and you will also set up your own factories,
yeah,
and you will eventually expand to a whole range of sectors, right? From aerospace to steel to consumer electronics and so on.
Yeah. You will see bits
and
pieces of
that. Or all that happened serendipitously.
I would say like it's 70% serendipity, 30% we had an intent. You'll see some bits and pieces of that in the deck. Like you will see things like we got our first exports order already by the time we had met Axel in our series. You'll see it in one of those slides. So exports was always in our mind. Did we have a point of view that it should be a third of our business close to that today? Like we didn't have that stronger point of view. We were okay doing business in India or we were exporting. I think some of that serendipity happened during COVID because we recognized that the whole China plus one shift is a shift happening today. We can't wait 5 years to say that, look, we are going to continue what we were doing anyway. And then 5 years later, if it's still there, we'll maybe address that market.
Within 4 months, it went from, it sort of compounded every month.
Yeah. Yeah, so we, I think in those first 4 months, we are growing 20-30% month on month, which is an amazing number for many reasons. Like it, for somebody who
knows... From 1 crore to 6 crore, I think, within 4 months.
Yeah. For somebody who knows nothing about your business, they can look at this chart and derive some meaning that they can compare it with other businesses they have seen. Maybe they have seen some similar charts, but most likely they would not have seen. And they can also try and understand what is driving this. So they can ask better questions like, is it a one-off event? Is it something driven by macro? Or is it something purely that has a different approach?
Thanks for that, Amrit. But stay tuned for more action because on the other side of the break, we will be talking to Priyank Swaroop, who wrote that Series A check for Zetwork. Joining us is Priyank Swaroop, the man who wrote the Series A check for Zetwork. Thank you, Priyank, for joining us. You know, Amrit time and again said that, you know, this is a technical deck and if he had to go back and do it, he would probably do it differently. What was your first impression when you saw the deck?
So, the good part of being at Axel was that we had already invested in a few businesses which are in B2B. So, I was very comfortable with, you know, a lot
all
of the terminals.
Jargon.
All the jargon. Actually, I didn't feel that, maybe that's why I didn't feel any of them was jargon. Yeah, this is what is the tech industrial businesses, all of this is required. But yes, like Amrit said, I had no idea what forging was, what casting was. So I couldn't figure out what exactly do they do, right? Like I understood they are working with large business houses to create, have suppliers for them and create something. But what were they creating also, I did not understand properly. Right, so I think the deck has a slide where they have like, we make hoppers and we make this. Like, okay, what? Okay, so because before I had nobody else had pitched us this idea to us before. And they said, we don't have any factories for this, right? So like, how do you do it, right? So that was the mystery. And then like once we had the meeting and then we had the IC, uske baad one of my analysts, he actually went with Srinath, one of the other Zetwork founders, Srinath, and went all the way to Chennai and nearby areas and checked out all the factories. And Priyank, this is real. They are making these things in the factory. So like, okay, this is great.
This is not like some on paper kind of thing. Huh?
More importantly, like he took photos. This is how the machines work. This is how people are working. This is right. So that was, yeah. For me, it was okay. Yeah.
But see, even the B2B ones that you had invested in before, they would have probably been marketplaces, where they match suppliers, buyers, find the market. In his case, as he said, they kind of went a step further.
Correct.
They said, we will not only find it for you, but we will also ensure that we get this made for you.
Correct.
Either
Correct.
Through a partner facility or, you know, we will make it ourselves.
Yes.
What did you make of that?
So that was definitely something very new. We had never heard that before, because till that point of time, everything in India was an e-commerce marketplace. So you bought, you had some...
Everything was an app.
Yeah, everything was an app. Ready-made supply. Somebody, you buy some clothes from somewhere, you buy some toys from somewhere, books from somewhere, and then sell it to somewhere else. Nobody said, ki, I'm going to help you make that book. I'm going to help you make that toy. So it was definitely very new. And we had already invested in a bunch of companies before Zetwork came along, which was like Power to SME and Bizongo and the like, and which were also buying products and raw materials from one place and selling at that time to somebody else. So for us, it was very interesting to hear that, hey, this kind of a marketplace can exist. And that is what piqued my interest, that, hey, okay, something new is there. And the second part was, then not everybody can do this. Why aren't like 100 other founders coming and telling me we will do this, right? So only in hindsight, when Zetwork became successful, a lot of other people said, hey, we will also do this. And now we have a lot more other companies which are trying to copy Zetwork's success. But at that time, Zetwork was the only people who came and
said. So why did you think they have the right to win over others?
Right. So at that point of time, first, they were the first people. But more importantly, the like Srinath and Amrit, the combo which came, they had a very clear understanding of a lot of deep B2B marketplace questions which nobody else could answer for us. Like
because
they already
of their
understood
background.
The background, you know, the fact that they understood working capital. Like I was learning what exactly working capital affects businesses, and a lot of other founders were understanding, you know, this is what creates issues. They already knew the answers for it. They were able to explain why this particular category does not have those kind of problems and working capital will be easier here. So that was a standout, that they understood the business and category very well. And this category also looked very interesting, that lower working capital requirements and had higher margins than most other businesses which were there. And the buyers were very large, so you could basically scale very fast, which again was showing up in their numbers as well. That same buyer, if they really liked your service, then they would say, okay, more, give me more, I'll buy more from you, right? So those things were a nice combo. Now, whether this will become as big as it has become now, that, I mean, it didn't factor into my planning or, you know, the discussion we had in our IC, like exports, we had not thought about it. That Zetwork would go into electronics, we had not thought about it. Like, so a lot of things were new.
Right. And what role did the deck play in framing, I mean, in deciding finally?
Well, I think the first time I met, the deck had come to me already. So, you know, I had not met
from him or from some other.
So the way we got introduced to Zetwork was through Rajesh Yabaji. He's
the Black Buck founder.
And, you know, Srinath had worked with Yabaji in the past, so he had connected. And then I really liked B2B marketplaces. So somebody in my team said, hey, you know, you should go and meet Zetwork. I think it was Anand Daniel. And so I said, fine, send me the deck. So I looked at the deck and I said, okay, this looks interesting for me. Let me meet the founders then. So the deck essentially made the meeting happen for me, right? And when I looked at the deck, there were a bunch of things. One was fast growth was standing out. The fact that it clearly articulated the fact, I think in the second or third slide, that this is what we do. We make custom-made orders. We help companies in doing a bunch. Actually, the first slide was very important.
The first slide.
Yeah.
The manufacturing supply chain.
This slide was very important because it clearly stated that we don't do trading, we don't do raw materials. We focus on the middle layer where things happen, where manufacturing is done. So it very clearly demarcated stuff. Why are we different from the others? So this is a very clear articulation in a picture, no long text, which says, hey, very clearly demarcating, this is what we do. Right? So once look at the deck and you understand what the company is planning to do.
Right.
Now, how big the opportunity is and all that, to be honest, I completely discounted. We are such a large, everybody says we are going to be a very large market. And then the value proposition slide was good. It also tells you more things, how the founder is thinking, that they are thinking of involving technology in each and every part of the business. That also was very unique, by the way, at that time.
Technology for manufacturing.
For B2B marketplaces.
For B2B marketplaces.
Because everybody was trying to put, let's say, the Flipkart or Amazon tech piece into a B2B marketplace. But here, Zetwork was saying, I'll use technology to make sure that the customer's orders are delivered on time, that quality is ensured. I will track everything properly. I think that was also new, which was not very common.
I'm sure this graph also clinched it for you.
This graph was great, like, you know.
From 1 crore to 6 crore in 4 months.
Yeah, because it was saying customers are loving what they are doing, right? So you don't see that growth that fast in most companies. But we were skeptical of this. We were like, is one of Amrit's, you know, relatives giving them these orders or Srinath's relatives giving them these orders? So but then we dig further and then we saw that it is actually international companies are working with the firm. And so that was great.
First 1, 2, 3 customers, there is no playbook. It was I would say luck. We were
cold emails, cold calls.
Yeah, I vividly remember it. Our first customer, we were trying to get a meeting with a very large company. Like, think of it as one of the largest companies in the world. We were waiting outside the chief procurement officer's room, waiting for our slot for the meeting. And as we were waiting, there were other people waiting next to us. And we started talking to the people who were waiting along with us. That person became our first customer.
This is like luck by chance.
Yeah, you can call it serendipity, luck by chance. I mean, we were trying so many things. I think something would have worked eventually. It just turns out that this is what worked for our first customer. Then our second and third customer, where we analyzed our first customer, what is their business? Who are other companies who operate in that space? And we went to those guys and said, look, we've already solved for a company which is in your space. We can solve for you as well. And that worked. So there was a lot of process behind the second
and
third.
Did you finally meet that chief procurement officer?
Yeah, we eventually met. And they're also a customer today. But it took us 1 year because a very large company. So large companies, we realized, take a little bit time.
So you would go to their subcontractors?
We went to their tier ones. And those were large companies, largest companies than us. Let's say, at that point in time.
And you would become a tier 2.
Yeah, we started with a tier 2. And then eventually, over a period of time, we started becoming direct.
How hard is it to go from, you know, a tier 2, tier 3 supplier to the main supplier? Because some of these people in between would have been your clients at some point.
Yeah. No, it is hard because the closer you get to the end customer, the tighter their process is. They are a little bit more rigid. And they have high expectations. So you have to meet all those three things on day one. There's no journey with them. They will not handhold you saying that, look, I'm going to try something new and then maybe you'll become better as per my quality standards 2 years later. Nobody does that. You have to be as good on day one. So our learning from there is, at least for the first couple of years, we were finding more success with little bit smaller companies. We had a few large accounts, like Priyank said. But bulk of our revenue was coming from what we call the SMB or mid-market segment. Today, it's the exact opposite. Bulk of our revenue comes from the enterprise segment, like really large companies, Tata's, Jindal's, all these guys. But the sales cycle to unlock that customer was 6 months, 1 year sometimes. Today, the business can afford long sales cycles because even if it takes us 1 year to get a really large company, we know that they will become a big part of our revenue in 2 years from now. And the business can still grow despite that constraint. But in the early times, we focused on smaller customers.
Priyank, you know, at Axel, what was the conversation among the partners when you said, I'm going to invest in a Zetwork?
Right.
Was it like, we have done B2B before?
Right.
Or, Priyank, what do you think? What are you thinking?
Right.
Did you also speak to others in the industry to get a sense of whether this model would work? Has it been done? What differentiates them? What feedback did you get?
So the process was, I read the deck. I called them. We met together. Then we said, hey, why don't you come down to meet the entire partnership? Because, and before we brought them into the partnership, I called up a bunch of people. And they were typically my friends. They were either in McKinsey or they were working in some other larger industrial corporate house and they had their own factories. And the funny story is I called them and they said, I don't think we will ever use Zetwork. We don't need them.
Do some of them use Zetwork today?
I'm sure they do. 100% sure. Like, it's because, like, 100%. Like, because at that time, I called them, like, tumhi log to use karoge. Like, who else will use, right? You are setting up these plants and they have to do manufacturing done. And some of them, like, nah, I don't think we'll use network. We have our suppliers. We'll continue with them. Yeah, but they do all of this. Do your suppliers do this? No, our suppliers don't do what they are doing. They don't provide the quality. They don't provide the software. They don't provide all of
this.
They
don't deliver on the deadline.
On the deadline. But we're very comfortable with them. Because we know, like Amrit said, they already have a mental model. I have given him, I know he will say 30 days and deliver 90 days. So they work, they are fine with this. I don't think we'll shift. And that was a tough call for me because people I spoke to and my friends who I trusted were saying, nahi chalega. And I was like, because there are these two smart young entrepreneurs who know what they are doing, seem like they have figured out a bunch of things. Maybe they are building a new type of business which nobody else has seen, so they can't imagine it. And should it not be me who will support them? And I said, okay, I'll want to support them. So then we had the IC. And IC was like all their customers at that time were very small international houses in India. So it seemed like the questions which were asked, do you think this can really scale, this can become large? Their customers seem to be very small houses. So if that works, then it will be industrial steel production and steel consumption of India pura aega. And then we did some numbers around that, looked big. So luckily, all of us agreed that we should give them a chance.
Prayank and Amrit, what would your kind of suggestions be to, you know, a startup or an entrepreneur who wants to, say, create a deck for a B2B business or even for a manufacturing business? What would your advice be? Oversee the design.
No, sir. Certainly show it to somebody who has no idea about your business. In the sense that they have an idea, but they don't understand it. They're looking at it from fresh eyes. I think when you're building the version 10, like what we did, in some ways you're a little bit biased by the versions 1 through 9. And when somebody is looking at it from fresh eyes, they can really say that, hey, actually your version 10 is not the right version at all, and we need to completely start from beginning. And that's the role my wife Sharanya played. Like, she looked at this and said, hey, I don't understand 50% of the terms that we're using, and we really need to simplify for an audience who's looking at this from the first time. I think sometimes we overthink about what the person wants to see, and we try and put that in the deck. I don't think that's needed. I think every person who's building a company has a very unique perspective, which is, if there was a playbook for starting companies, then, you know, we would teach it in schools. But it is a...
There are schools,
but, you know, it's starting now. But it's the reality is every company is unique. They all have their own journeys. And hence, the journey that is very unique to you, you should capture that in words that convey that. And you don't need to say that I'm the Flipkart of X or I'm the Uber of Y. You will see in our deck, we have nowhere mentioned that we are the X of Y or the X of India.
Firstly, maybe because people will now say we are the Zwork of this.
And I would
space.
Encourage them to not do that.
Yeah.
Because every business is truly unique. Yes, there are some models loosely applied, but the reality is if you're building a very large outcome, it has probably never been done before. And hence, capturing why you are uniquely poised to do that, I think that should be 80% of the deck. And then there's other things which people want to see.
Actually, I completely echo what Amrit is saying. Like, if somebody comes and says, I am Zwork of X, then I will say Zwork will become the Zwork of X very soon, right? Because they have the capital and they have the know-how. But I think what their deck was, one, it was not too much of text crammed into a lot of points into each slide. It was simple. Okay, one slide is telling you one thing, this is, and it is what it is for. And you just explain that concept. A lot of founders, what they do sometimes mistake is they try to tell 10 different things in one deck, in one slide, which I will not recommend.
Less is more.
What is the core thing you want to tell? Like, as an investor, I'm looking at, okay, what do you want to do? Can it become big? What is your moat, right? And that should come out on the deck as simply as that. If you have to give me 100 data points to explain one thing, then it's problematic. Right? You don't, there's so many decks we receive every day. How do you stand out? You stand out by being that one tech which is very clearly and crisply explaining everything. So yeah, I think that's number one and most important thing. In B2B companies in particular, I think now investors in the last 5 to 6 years have become a lot more smarter. So they want to understand supply chain margins. Does the entrepreneur understand that? Where will he get the supply chain margins from? What is the working capital? Do you have a good sense of that? Can the
The questions they ask are more granular.
More granular, that's right. Mm-hmm. And the founder needs to be able to demonstrate that expertise now, because now a lot of founders are able to demonstrate it. So you need to again, hey, I am above and better than the other founders you have met. I am not very naive that about all this. So I think that's the other big part.
On that note, thank you both so much for joining us on this episode of PitchCraft. You heard out from the founder and CEO of Zetwork and one of its early investors on what really worked for them, did not work for them when it came to their pitch deck. But you can actually access this pitch deck on seedtoscale.com. Check it out.
Money Control presents PitchCraft in collaboration with Seed to Scale.